You're with SBS Radio.
My guest is Stuart Stacey of Binary Security. Welcome to NITV Radio, Stuart.
Thanks for having me, Bertrand. Thank you.
Yeah, last time we spoke was actually a few months back when things were going very well. That was back in October on Indigenous Business Month. And now, a few months down the track, country is just in a state of crisis with this COVID-19. Now, tell us about how you're going fast yourself as a person and how business is going in this period of serious pandemic.
We actually started the year off really, really well. I employed a national sales manager based out of Adelaide. So we opened up an Adelaide office, which is our first one outside of Darwin. And that was going really well. And then this pandemic appeared. Things have slowed down considerably for obvious reasons. It's probably not just us. It's the whole country, really. We aren't able to travel, which has put a damper on our marketing strategies and stuff like that, getting out and seeing our customers. So it slowed things down a lot. But, you know, we've done what most other people have done and moved to the remote worker model. It's not as effective as face-to-face, but it's what we have to work with. So we're just making the best of it.
Yeah, so adapting to this work from home, a new trend which was around, but it's just gained a new momentum with this crisis.
A few things happened that were easy to predict. So companies, obviously, more so because of their employees, were asking for it. You know, they wanted to limit their exposure, so more and more employees started to ask to work from home. So companies were struggling to keep up with the requirements around putting their workforce at home. You know, things like giving them the right kit. You know, they need phones, they need potentially laptops or just another computer to put at home. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's quite a big shortage in Australia right now in terms of, you know, buying laptops and desktop computers. There were some big companies that put in rather large orders with the distributors around Australia, which drained the stock availability quite early in the crisis. So companies are struggling to come up with options to allow their employees to work from home, which has led to a lot of issues. For example, where they weren't able to source equipment, they resorted to letting their employees work from their own personal home computer, which of course, you know, they have no control over. You know, they don't know whether it's already got viruses or malware on it. So there's potentially exposing corporate data.
Yeah, from someone.
Yeah.
From someone who is involved in cybersecurity. I have to remind our listeners, I didn't say this in the introduction, that your company, Binary Security, is one of the few, if not the only, original company involved in cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think I've become aware of there's another company in Queensland, I think, which is a recent startup as well, apparently is Indigenous, but. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of us around.
And I interrupted you while you're talking about the cybersecurity posed by people using their personal computers instead of using their corporate or company-supplied equipment. So you realize that this poses security as an expert.
Yeah, absolutely. So most ICT, company ICT teams will be, you know, having heart attacks about having their users go home and use their own equipment because they simply don't have any control over it, you know.
Yeah.
So if they were able to source, like, additional laptops where they can, you know, install and configure, you know, in line with their own security policies, they'll be more comfortable with sending them home. But, you know, a lot of companies, you know, they don't have ICT teams and they sort of resort to, well, we've got to keep the doors open. We've got to keep making money. So they take that extra risk on, which is why, you know, if you have a look around, the amount of vulnerabilities that are appearing out there in people's networks are skyrocketing. And also, you know, the bad, and I hate to use the word hackers out there, are taking advantage of that. And COVID-19 based email scams have just gone through the roof in every country around the world. It's basically what you would call a cybersecurity crisis. As we always say, people in the profession, the weakest link is always the human. Companies, you know, they can install as much antivirus software as they want, but at the end of the day, if you don't train your staff to identify these scams coming in, you're going to get hit.
So you might see increased security, actually increase the business for yourself. Companies crying for help.
Yeah, absolutely. So we at our company, we already offer it's a specialized web-based online training system for companies to put their employees through. You know, very simple videos and cartoonish type methods of delivery to teach their staff how to identify phishing, which we still believe is the number one activity companies should be taking to improve their security posture.
Yeah.
And also, we've also done a little bit of a pivot as well. So we have a security operations center that we have that remotely monitors enterprise and business networks for hacker-type activities.
Yeah.
And what we've done is to meet the new huge demand for cloud-based computing, we've gone and purchased more capacity in our own infrastructure, and we can now sell those companies that don't have the ability to acquire any new laptops or desktops. We can actually rent them a virtual desktop or laptop in our cloud, in our private cloud.
Wow.
And what that does is it allows their staff to log in and use that home computer to log into a hosted desktop for them that's completely secure. So we eliminate that problem of the company not having control over what's going on with their data on their home user's computer. Okay, so that's a little bit of a void that we've attempted to fill. And so far it's been quite successful. We've had some companies that have actually moved, you know, their whole office up into our private cloud. And they're now talking about, well, we might think about keeping this as a permanent
option
for our business.
So, so new business models and new business opportunity appearing there.
Yeah, it has. So it wasn't something that we were looking at keeping as our core business, but, you know, after reevaluating, there's a very real requirement. And even we're building options in our pricing for companies to basically rent a cold network. What that means is we can actually build the infrastructure there, but basically charge them up to only 10% of what it would cost to operate, just to have it there in case their normal network or their office network becomes compromised. And then we can very quickly move them to the cloud with very little loss of work time or downtime.
Stuart, I like your ingenuity. Last time I spoke to you, you already had this project where you would provide a really top-end cybersecurity. You're working on a prototype. We didn't catch up in between, which would provide top-end security at a fraction of the cost. Now you're coming up with another idea, and again, at a very, very competitive rate.
We're pretty proud of it. We've actually started a new company called Digital Shield. That company is specifically designed around monitoring of small business for those hacker threats. The average time that the Australian Cybersecurity Centre says that a penetration lives inside a network is about 160 days unidentified. We are identifying those types of threats in people's networks in under 2 hours now. It's a pretty successful model, and you know, once this coronavirus pandemic has moved away, we're hoping to go even harder in the Australian market, and especially with Indigenous companies. So we've got some special offerings for Indigenous companies because, you know, we have a a much greater understanding of their requirements and their values and how they want to do business. And we're developing some products that are really going to help them build up cybersecurity posture without too much local knowledge. We're going to take that risk away from them and sort of absorb it into our model.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you, because Indigenous businesses, how are they going in this period of crisis? Are they more at risk than other businesses in a cybersecurity sense?
I wouldn't say that they're more at risk, because at the end of the day, we're talking about, they basically use the same technology as everybody else.
Yeah.
What we're finding, though, is that the organizations that are less generously funded, you know, they concentrate more on their core business, and cybersecurity is not very high on their budget priority list. You know, it's a double-edged sword for those organizations. So we want to step in and provide, you know, high-value services that they really benefit from that don't impact their budget very much. And training as well. Like I said, our company, you know, we have a mandate to really promote Indigenous engagement in high-tech industries, and we want to see more Indigenous people choose high-tech fields to get into rather than the traditional land-based fields that sort of become the norm for Indigenous people. We're really lacking involvement in high-tech fields, and we're really trying hard to change that.
And this is the time to pass on the message, because it appears that, this is the time to go from the physical world to the cyber world, where actually business is moving, forced to move now.
And there's another flip side to the coin as well. So what management and business owners are going to quickly realize, because they've been forced to this remote worker model, once this virus pandemic has gone, they're going to realize that this may be an option that they can keep going. They're going to start asking themselves the question, well, do I really need to have an office with 12 people sitting around in close proximity when the technology is out there and has been out there for quite a long time to actually keep their workforce at home?
Yeah,
because there really are some big advantages to doing that, depending on what industry that they're in. So you may find that it becomes more the norm than not.
Out of crisis, things like this happen. I remember after September 11, when airline travel was actually heavily affected, you had, because of the security threat, you had major corporations deciding, okay, if we have like four or five executives needing to travel, they'll never put them on the same flight just in case something happened. They didn't want all their top executive to be eliminated in one, security risk. And so their business model changed. And then we had after the GFC, travel restrictions, just in order to save money, you had a lot of businesses cutting down on travel. So they started implementing this video conferencing. So most meetings started shifting to video conferencing, teleconferencing, and so on. But now COVID is accelerating even further.
That's right. And you'll see companies, like you mentioned, video conferencing. One of the catchphrases right now is Zoom meeting. So can I Zoom you? So there's a video conferencing company called Zoom that their user base has gone from 10 million a month to 200 million subscribers in just a bunch of a few weeks. Because of that exposure and that growth, there was some pretty serious vulnerabilities that were found within their software. Because, you know, the more and more people use it, it illuminates these problems in the platform.
Yeah.
And then you have a whole bunch of people saying, well, don't use Zoom because it's insecure. I don't exactly agree with that. Like every bit of software has its problems. It was because this was a very special case of a particular piece of software because of Corona just going through the roof. And it had a lot of bad publicity, but it's still a great platform for the average user. You know, so, but, and that's one of the drivers that I think will be placed in front of boards and management teams as, well, why can't we do this normally? It's just opened up a whole new era of computing.
And what I can see is the businesses will start downsizing their premises because of the cost. And it will be more cost effective to have a lot of employees working in a virtual space. So
yeah, exactly.
That will actually, I can see this really being accelerated, this work from home phenomenon, and the snowball effect on the community will be huge, 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 huge.
Yeah. Exactly. And security should be a top priority for people considering those options, because one of the downsides of, you know, putting, like I said before, putting your workforce remotely is it expands your attack surface slightly. What I mean by attack surface is if you have a look at all the different systems that you have and how many devices you have and how many humans you have in your network, that all forms what we call in cybersecurity the attack surface. So the more you have, the bigger your attack surface is, which is more of a surface for hackers to push back against. You want to be able to find that balance where you can achieve those goals of setting up remote workers and making those savings, but you need also to implement the security to protect the change.
Now, this is the time to ask you about your project. Last time I saw you, how did that prototype go? Because this would be the right time to release it, as it will be really, the demand is there.
Yeah, so we don't have that ready for release yet. We're still building that. It's not a real simple thing to do, because we have to be able to, in one little box, we actually have to allow for a lot of different scenarios. It takes a long time to test each scenario. So that way, you know, when we go to sell it, a company buys it, puts it into their network, and it doesn't quite work. Now, that's going to be a problem. For the audience that's listening, what we're basically doing as a service offering, where for those companies that can't afford to have their own IT person on site, we will put a little box into your network that will talk to all of your devices, and it will detect when there are anomalies in your network or things of concern that we can then report on very quickly and identify, report, and hopefully remediate, which will stop, you know, hackers moving or doing more damage in people's networks.
Yeah.
And that's where the company Digital Shield, that's what one of its focuses is on in terms of R&D.
Yeah.
We want to make that affordable, because right now those sort of technologies, you know, they're sort of aimed at large business or the enterprise. We want to make cybersecurity affordable for all levels of business.
Well, Stuart, before I let you go, just a very quick question. Everyone is affected by this coronavirus. Now, on a personal level, you've had to shift working from home with your family, young family. How are you navigating this challenge?
So we've got three young children in our house, and they've been taken out of school, and it's a very big challenge. Even, you know, we're talking to you, we've had to sort of put them on their iPads upstairs away so you can't hear little kids running around in the background. So,
yeah.
But just the boredom for the children is a big factor. Taking them out and doing a little bit of exercise and just keeping them occupied is a real challenge, balancing that with some work that I need to get done. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
And I know there are people out there with more than three children.
Yeah.
And there's some single parents that would be out there struggling as well. And my heart goes out to them, and I can understand, you know, what those people might be going through right now.
Especially, there are some who might be in essential services, actually, who might have to go physically to their work. And I wonder how they're navigating this crisis, because it's going to be extended. No?
Yeah, I think one of the key things, I think, don't be scared to lean on friends and reach out for help. I think, you know, this is the time where, you know, your support networks are really, really important, and don't be scared to reach out and ask for help. I know some people may have a little bit more pride than others and not want to do that, but, you know, times are tough for everybody, and you know, there's no shame in asking for help. If it helps you, you know, move on and beat this thing, you know.
But with social distancing and all these measures, you might be told, oh, no, unless it's a family, close family, you're not allowed to approach them.
I guess, but like you said, you know, if you've got a single mum who's a nurse, and, you know, and she needs to get to work, I think, you know, having her friend babysit her children or her child, I don't think there'd be too much of a problem with the authorities. To be honest, it would be pretty harsh of them to say or fine that person for doing that.
Yeah.
As long as they're not treating it like a holiday and going out and about all the time, as long as they're staying home,
yeah,
you know, that sort of thing should be encouraged.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's just my opinion anyway.
No, no, I've heard the same from a lot of people. It's even if, you see, in this particular instance, the physical connection is very important, but even the virtual one, just staying in touch and bouncing ideas on each other, off each other, is very important to be able to cope with this pandemic that's hit us by surprise.
Yeah, mental health is going to be a real issue out of this. I can see the mental health on the other end of this being a really big problem. You know, we've got an entire country that's sitting at home. You know, Australians, our lifestyle is definitely not one of sitting at home. We like to get out. So,
yeah.
You know, my advice to everyone is take care of your mental health. Go for those walks. You're allowed to go for a walk as a family.
Yeah.
You know, you're allowed to exercise. Get out in the fresh air.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah. And your extended family, you're in contact with the rest of the family?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So I have a daughter that lives in Cairns, and you know, we FaceTime several times a week. You know, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes, it's a really good relief, you know, to see everyone in the family and know that they're safe, you know, have a bit of a joke, have a bit of a giggle.
Yeah.
You know, it really helps a lot get through the day.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.